Good morning, everybody. So grateful to be here today. I'm so grateful for God's word that He left for us and the fact that we can always check and look in God's word and find whatever we need for our daily lives. So grateful for the Holy Spirit that God allowed to be with us, to guide us and explain this word to us. And so grateful for the body of Christ, for the church, that we can gather together. And there's different members that help each other. And Jesus said, I'm going to be there, here, at the location where people meet, where He is the head and everybody else is just a member of that body. I want to read something today about God's word for us. There's a lot of directions we can go about that. When I was in the Bible school, I had to write a complete study about God's word and what it means to us and all that. Based on that, I got the diploma there. So I had to go through all these footnotes, go through all this and explain and bright ideas and so on. That's not what I'm trying to do today. God humbled me so much that I look in the Bible. I don't despise that, the fact we need to study the Bible, we need to look into that. I don't despise that. It's good to know if I can explain you, everything about food, how it's made, the chemicals and all that, the nutrition fact and everything, that's great. But if I don't eat that, what use of that? There's no benefit from there. So we need to get to the Bible, to God's word, with a personal hunger and thirst and expectation that God is going to talk to us. So I'm going to read the verse from Psalm 119. Verse 105, and I'm going to read from NIV version. I find this more easy for me to understand and to write. So Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I just looked on the internet. I saw some sermons, I look at the titles and I saw, something like, what's wrong with, Christianity today? What's wrong with everybody else today? What's this and what's that? And somehow we tend to believe that everything is okay with us. Maybe not. I don't say everybody says it's okay with them, but in a way, if we keep our conscience clear, we have to be confident that God, if there is something wrong, and there is wrong things with us, that we constantly have to change. But we have to keep the conscience clear. So here I see that the Bible says, your word is a lamp for my feet. It has to be God who's speaking to me. It's not my parents, it's not my pastor, not my preacher, it's not somebody else. It's God, your word is a lamp for my feet. God wants to show us, and it's using a lot of examples from the Bible, a lot of analogies, like the word of God is like a hammer, like a sword, and so many other things. But here it uses this example of a lamp that's going to light the feet ahead of us. Or like we drive at night. I remember one time I was driving to Oklahoma. There is a lot of I need to drive about 45 minutes on the highways, and there's like cows on left and right, and usually there's fence, and they don't get in the road. But one night I was driving, and all of a sudden it was like, I don't know, midnight or something like that, and all of a sudden it seems like I see something ahead of me, and it was black cows just walking down the road, facing me, and it was like driving 65 miles an hour or something like that. And because I had the high beams on, I could see ahead of me. And when I noticed that, obviously I avoided that. But I could not see that 5 minutes before I got to that point. As I was driving, or we can say as we are walking, God is going to show ahead of us. In other words, God is concerned about what you and me are facing today. What's the point of God teaching Peter and all the other apostles how to be fishers of men if they are not ready to come after Jesus? You know, and just leave whatever they had before. And Jesus says, follow me. Do the first step and God will show you what to do after that. God is warning us a lot of things that are happening. You know, God is showing us ahead. Be prepared. Be ready. It's going to be tough. But I'm going to be with you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to give you wisdom how to behave. And the Holy Spirit will be with us in those moments. I don't know how many of you could look on online, like Google Maps have a feature, like you can see basically, if you go to Google Street View, you can see actually, you know, the where you're pointing in that location. Let's say, you know, you want to see the street somewhere else in a different country or different street. You can see that actually there. It's like, you know, you look right there. They take these pictures and they put them online. You can see there. So I remember Lori had to drive to St. Louis, and because I go all the time on I-44, I know she was supposed to take an exit, which is on the left side, not the right side. Normally, you take the exits on the right. And I knew this is might surprise her, might be something that's dangerous. It's also like very sharp exit, very, I don't know if it's a 90 degree almost, but it's very sharp curb right there. So we just go online and we just, you know, I showed her, look, you know, just step by step, you know, we just look and as she just drives there, just looks at that. And she was warned, she was informed about that. Well, we don't have a Google Street View for life. I cannot zoom into tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen 1 minute from now. I was repairing my car just the other day. I had to do a lot of things there. And I know if something doesn't go right, I have a finger right here, just got smashed. Don't worry about it. But I knew that, you know, I can get upset if things don't go right. I have to go to work and this and that. And I say, Lord, please help me today not to sin, not to get angry, not to get upset. And, you know, I did not know what to expect. I faced some things. I was tempted so many times. And I failed a couple of times. But I knew God was there. And immediately, I knew God was, I am here. Repent immediately. I could not get a bolt out from there. And, you know, I said, Lord, just help me how to do this. And I remember one thing I had to do. I was just skipping that part. And God reminded me of that. God is with us, brothers and sisters. His word is a lamp, not a projector to show us, you know, 10 years ahead. We don't know what's going to be tomorrow. But God is so concerned. Even he's so much concerned. He says, forget about the gift you want to bring to me. He says, if your brother has something against you, just leave that gift at the altar. Go first. Set things right. In other words, God says, it's right here in front of you. Let's just, you know, take care of that. God's word is like that. And if we are honest, God is going to do that. He's going to show us. Because in the new covenant, God said, I'm going to write my laws, my commands on your heart. So even though we don't have the Bible with us, if we do something and God is going to activate that. It's gonna, that word of God that's written in our heart is gonna say, this is not okay. This is what we have to do. And God is gonna guide us in the right direction. But as we are looking at God's word and we want God to build us up, to encourage us, to correct us, and to do all those things, there are things in our lives that they are preventing. They're like, you know, they're messing up. They are just destroying God's word in our lives. There are things that, you know, God can speak to us. And, you know, Jesus was there in person. He was the word of God among those people. And he spoke to them and they did not pay attention, many of them. In fact, they were offended and so on. So I was thinking, you know, the Bible is so it's God's word for us. It's so precious. And yet, there might be some things that can prevent us from getting the full blessing of God's word for us. the lamp can be blocked by something else. We just cover it. I don't know what it is that we can cover, but God wants to speak to us, and we just can cover culturally maybe. Well, everybody does it. Or, you know, we get so used to just neglect that voice that speaks to us that one day we don't hear God speaking to us anymore. I don't care how many times I get upset. Every single time I say, Lord, please rebuke me. Lord, please. In other words, if there's a thumb getting into my feet, I want to feel the pain every single time. That way I know I have something wrong in my body. I need to take it out. But what if I would say, what can I do so I don't feel the pain every time I get something in my feet? That will not be wise, brothers and sisters. We have to be honest. And every time God shows me something, I say, Lord, I want to change. I want to repent according to your word. I don't want to cover this lamp that is lighting up the path ahead of me. I want, Lord, to see exactly what you want to talk to me. Back in 2000s, you know, it seems like ages ago, but we used to write letters, you know, like mail, send letters. I was, between me and Lori, it was like, I don't know, 900 kilometers, maybe, I don't know, 600 miles or so. So email and internet just was popping up. We are not, you know, so used to that. So many times I would write letters. And they had a dog, a pet, a Rottweiler, you know, those big dogs at home. And one time she told me, some of my letters were, you know, stamped by that dog. And she just grabbed it and smashed it and destroys them. And she would just wonder what I was, you know, writing there. Because that dog didn't care about, you know, what's in that letter. But, you know, poor girl was thinking, oh, what was he saying here? What's this? What's that? It's missing this, missing that. And I was thinking about that. When I read God's word, you know, that God warns us about some pets, if I can call them, that destroy. You know, in the proverb, it says about the little fox, they destroy the big, you know, fields. Destroying. You know, when Jesus said about the farmer who went to sow the seed, that some seed was, you know, next to the road and the birds came and ate that, and some other seed was, you know, dropped, you know, between among those thorns, and they grew up and they just, you know, the seed was not producing anything. And we have dogs and cats and pets in our lives that are eating that word of God. And I can tell you, maybe, I don't know, but a lot of these, you know, things that hinder, is that the right word in English? Like hinder, prevent, for God's word, you know, to be effective in our lives, it's one of those pets. It's black, usually in color. It's about 5-6 inches tall, about 3-4 inches wide. It's electronic. I struggle with that pet a lot. Not because, you know, oh, I'm just going to go and stay all day on my phone and just do this and that. I talk about the phone. It's a very dangerous pet. It's good if it's cute and under control. But if we just, you know, I wonder what's going on in Israel right now. I wonder, you know, what's going on there, you know, and everywhere. And I just, my mind is everywhere. The Word of God is just covered. That lamp is covered. Doesn't produce light. And I repent of that. And I when I come before God, I say, Lord, this is your letter for me. When my wife received that letter for me, there was a person behind those letters. There's emotions. There's a lot of effort, sweating and concentration and writing that to her. And here comes the dog and smash it. And I don't care. I just want to have a good time. And I will look at God's word, and This God, the Father, wants to speak to me, wants to get my attention. It's like, you know, the referees and, you know, like the trainer, the coaches, like sit on the, you know, on the field, and they try to tell something to the players. And, you know, they show them something, and, you know, that's not okay. Go there, do this, do that. And God is trying to speak to me. He says, I, what you do right now is not good for you. And yet we just cover it. We just, you know, pet. We have these things that, you know, we love them. And they're just destroying us. Brothers and sisters, what's the reason we read the Bible? What are we looking for? I hope we want to see God who's trying to speak to us. In the same Psalm 119, verse 132 and 133, it says like this, "Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me." That's the desire that this man of God had when he opened the Bible or the letter, the God's word. He says, "Lord, this is the burning desire of my heart. Turn," in Romanian it says, "turn your face to me, Lord. When I look in this, I want to see you, Lord," in the Bible. When you speak through your word, I want to see you. "Have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me." So, this is one of the desires that I have when I read God's word. I say, "Lord, I want my relationship with sin to become weaker and weaker and weaker. It's not going to disappear. It's not like, you know, I'm not going to sin no more. It's going to be there around us because we have this flesh that always wants to, you know, get attracted to sin. And there's a constant battle, you know, between the spiritual and the physical in us. There's day by day, every day, we have to watch that. But the Bible says, "Lord, direct my footsteps according to your word and let no sin rule over me." Pay attention. He doesn't say, "Lord, I don't want the serious sins to rule over me. Lord, don't make me, you know, just one of those people that's obvious something is wrong with them." He says, "Lord, no sin rule over me. Not even one lie, Lord. Nothing that's from this, you know, sinful nature. I want them to rule over me." And the more we're going to look into God's word, the more and more we'll become stronger and we will be more and more overcomers over sin. This is actually a promise from the New Covenant, Romans chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 14, "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. And God gives grace to the humble," the Bible says. So that's, you know, God says, "I'm going to make you strong. My grace is going to be with you. And you're going to overcome that because you are under grace right now." And God wants to help us to be overcomers, brothers and sisters. But in the same chapter, Romans chapter 6, just a few verses from 11, it says, Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. See, when I was tempted, I was repairing the car, I was tempted to get angry or to get upset or something like that. You know, the Bible says, count yourself dead to sin. You know what? I was surprised that the car did not get angry. It was dead. It has no emotion. That's exactly what the Bible tells me to do. When you see you want to sin, just, you know, say, "I'm not going to do it." The Bible says, do not offer. When I open my mouth, I just give an opportunity for the flesh to sin. Or in my heart, do not offer that. I know this is hard. But the more and more we see God in His Word, and the more we're going to feed our mind with His Word, whatever that struggle is, I don't know what you are facing, but I know God, that the Holy Spirit is there to guide us. I know Paul was struggling. He says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." I have to crucify myself. Christ, when He died there, you know, when you're crucified, you cannot do. what you want to do, then the Bible says, count yourself like that. It's not going to happen magically. God gave us the freedom to choose. You know, that car, I don't want to be a car, you know, with no emotions. God gave me the freedom to choose. But when it comes to, you know, those moments in life where when I'm tempted, I say, Lord, I choose to behave just like a dead man. And that's where we grow spiritually. And that's one thing that I desire when I look in God's Word. I want my relationship with sin to be weaker and weaker. And this flesh is going to be weaker and weaker. And the spiritual man in me is going to be stronger and stronger. But there's one more thing that I look in the Bible. When I read the Bible, you know, I don't just feel my heart. Like it says in this, in the beginning of this psalm, how a young man shall, you know, keep himself pure, you know, by storing God's Word in his heart. That's one thing we do. The more and more we're going to fill our mind, we're going to be more and more like Him. But one more thing, I want my relationship to increase, to be better. When I look in the Bible, I want my relationship with God to be stronger and stronger every day. See, when I read God's Word, I discover about Him more and more. I discover about His character. Like I read in Psalm 119, verse 132, 133. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Love is a relationship. You know, people who love God, God is looking to them. And, you know, the relationship with God is, you know, become stronger and stronger when we read God's Word. You know, it's very difficult to do something that's not right when somebody who you love looks at you. You cannot look. I can guarantee that. I heard, you know, there's like these pranks going on and so on. Like a lot of guys, when they go to bars or like restaurants, I saw like, you know, they filming with these hidden cameras. They take the ring off, you know, just not married. They, you know, this way they show they're not married or something. They feel bad for one, you know, just having the ring, you know, and go and mingle with other girls than, you know, than their wives. I mean, but what if you look at your wife and just, or at your husband and just go commit adultery? Nobody can do that. Not even the worst one. It's something, you know, like so miserable. How can we look into God's Word, into His face, and commit sin? It has to block something. Whenever I am tempted and say, Lord, I just go and, you know, either it's under the pressure or under the pleasure of sin, you know, I can guarantee we're not looking in God's eyes when we are committed to, or, you know, we're tempted to do that. I know Peter could not do it. When he was denying Christ, you know, and Jesus just looked at him, he could not resist it. He just went outside and cried and repented and said, Lord, forgive me. So what I'm trying to say, brothers and sisters, let's keep our relationship with God closer and closer. Look at Him. It's going to be more difficult to sin. If I am aware every single moment that God is watching me, I don't feel condemnation, but I feel the love of God. And I say, Lord, I cannot do this here. Lord, I cannot do it. I'm tempted, Lord, to get angry or whatever, you know, but Lord, I know You are with me. Or get discouraged, or, you know, I know You are with me, Lord. I cannot humiliate You like that. I trust You, Lord. I'm going to love You and follow You. I want my relationship with God to increase as I read God's Word. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40, He was talking to those people, the Pharisees and those people in His time. He says, you study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. People were studying the Word of God. They looked there. And Jesus says, these Scriptures, they talk about me. They said, no, we cannot. You know, you are not the type of Messiah we are expecting. So this is, again, a temptation where we are, you know, we want the Bible just to say what we like to say. We want the Bible to, you know, to just approve everything we want to do. And that's the thing that happened back then for them. It was very difficult for them to come to Jesus. and say, yes, you are right. We see you are the Son of God, and accept the role that Jesus had. They just studied the Bible and ignored God's Messiah that was among them. And Jesus also said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's not the other way around. It's not like, you know, if you keep my commandments, eventually you'll fall in love with me. It's not like that. The Bible says, if you love me, do whatever you want. I don't need commandments to not commit adultery because I love my wife. I love God. I don't need those rules. I don't need rules to do not steal or do not this or do not kill because God put those in my heart. My relationship with God, if it's okay, if I love God, I'm going to follow this commandment. So the relationship with Christ and God is very important. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's more than just a relationship. We are staying alive every day just by hearing from God. We learn more about His character, about His nature. He reveals Himself to us, and we want to be more and more like Him. And we feel like our spiritual man, our spiritual nature is becoming more and more alive and strong. And that's how we stay alive every day, by staying in relationship with God and reading His Word in, for our lives. But also, when I read God's Word, not just I want, you know, I expect my relationship with sin to be weaker and weaker and just, you know, destroy sin in my life, get exposed, repent, and get victory over it. I want my relationship with Christ to increase and know Him more and become more personal. I also want to be more and more equipped for the purpose that God created me. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. From verse 15, he says, how from infancy, from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, he knew the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God gave us the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures to equip us, to train us. And Paul is using this. He says, you know the Scriptures that are able to. It's not just, you know, automatically, like Bible is going to transform us. They give us the opportunity. They guide us. But it has to be our choice. We have to follow what they teach us. And the Paul is talking about this, like the Scriptures is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. If we get offended, if, you know, if we don't look in the Bible with that attitude of a child, say, teach me, O Lord. Teach me, O Lord. For me, one of the greatest obstacles when it comes to the Bible was that, you know, I tend to go to the, where I used to go to the Bible and just, you know, find something brilliant, something, you know, like amazing, and just, you know, and especially I think for preachers, is this temptation just to impress somebody with some great ideas, you know, from the Bible. But if we come to the Scriptures as a child, Christ said, God has, you know, hidden these things from the wise ones and from, you know, for those people that are very smart. And he says he revealed these to the little ones, to the children. If a child wants to eat or wants to drink, he's going to let you know that. I don't know if what he's going to use. He's going to cry. He's going to say whatever. But they're going to let you know that. They're going to speak about that. When we come to God's Word, it's like that. I don't want to come here and say, Lord, just, you know, I want to find something, you know, to get impressed and so on. Lord, teach me. That's what the Bible says is useful for teaching. Sometimes we don't get it. Or we just, you know, it's hard to get adapted or, you know, confirmed to the Word of God. And that says it's useful for rebuking. We don't like that. But God says, you know, I'm going to rebuke you if you don't understand or you need something more than teaching, and then correcting and training in righteousness. That's more than just teaching and rebuking. When God has to correct us, that's not easy, brothers and sisters. But that's the love of God shown to us when we are reading His Word. I want Him to speak to me. I want Him to teach me, to correct me, to rebuke me, so I can be more and more useful for what He has for my life. You know, we have heard so many sermons. And from childhood, we had no idea there's a verse in the Bible that says you should, you know, honor your mom and dad, or you should listen to your mom and dad. And when we grow up, we see that verse in the Bible. So, oh, this is not just mom and dad saying that. It's actually God who said it. And there's a lot of other things that we look in the Bible and we think, oh, you know, maybe somebody said it. It's somebody's idea. These old people, you know, they just, you know, they like this lifestyle and so on. My parents taught me to follow God. But I thought it's just them wants me to be a nice guy, you know. And later, when I just come to God's Word, I say, Lord, I have personally come to that conclusion that this is Your Word. It's not my parents. It's not pastor. It's not preacher. It's Your Word that's trying to light up my path. It's like, Lord, You try to teach me, and I want this to be true in my life. I want this to be true in my life. And, you know, when Job went through that hard time of his life, he went, you know, for suffering, and, you know, he just was so despaired, like, you know, in that situation where your family, your children die, you lose everything, your wife is next to you, not supporting it. He was in so, you know, it was so hard for him. And his three friends came over and they tried to point to him and said, well, maybe something is wrong with you, Job, after all. And he tried to justify himself. He started to argue with God at one point and so on, you know. And I see one time towards the end, the book of the Job, chapter 42, verses 5 and 6, when Job just, you know, comes before God and says, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes. The friends could not convince him. But when he personally saw God and God started to talk to him, he said, Lord, forgive me. I just heard about you, but now I am convinced and I despise myself and I repent. I thought I was right. I thought, you know, everything is okay with me. But Lord, you look at me and you saw the way I was behaving, what I was doing. And I realized, Lord, I need to repent. I need to repent. The prodigal son, you know, he was home with his dad and he always, you know, oh, this, my father is like this and like that. And he said, I got better ideas. He just goes outside and just lives like he wanted. You know, when he comes back, he didn't say, Father, forgive me. I'm the worst son in the world. Please accept me. You're right. He said one thing there. He says, Father, I have sinned against you and against God. That's what brings conviction in our life. I know that I follow the truth when it convinces me. The Holy Spirit will convince us of the sin, the judgment, and the righteousness of God. When God comes to me and speaks to me and says, this is wrong what you do right now, everybody can applaud me and say, no, that's okay. I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to listen to you. Because one day I'm going to stay before you. I don't care if it's just a little gossip. If it's just a little lie. For that sin, Christ have died. If it's a little discouragement or like a little, I don't know, unbelief or something. Unbelief, it's a serious sin. I say, Lord, I repent before you. Because the Holy Spirit shows that in my life. Or if somebody can tell me you're the worst person in this world, I'm going to look at the Bible and say, Lord, what do you say? And God is going to tell me, you're my son. You're my daughter. Christ have died for you. I have a plan for your life. And God is trying to get us on the right path. So brothers and sisters, I try to share this with you with a humble heart. When I read the Bible today, I don't look for ideas to preach. I say, Lord, fill my mind with your word so I find it more and more difficult to sin. I'm not sure if I told you this. In my country, I was born in Moldova. So I heard one guy said that they have a rule now. If you lose your license because you drive under influence, under alcohol, in order to get your license back, you have to go to the morgue, you know, where people die. And they have to, you have to watch for a couple hours. I don't know how many hours. You have to go there and watch people who die because of drunk drivers. And said, you cannot get a driver license back unless you go through those hours. The doctor's going to say, yes, he was assisting me here in watching this. And he said, I never, ever want to drink again and drive. Because they saw that. Whenever I read God's word, I want to see the suffering of Christ. When I'm tempted to sin, I want to see more and more the suffering he paid for me. That's what I look in the Bible when I read. I want to see beyond these words, I want to see the heart of God. I want to see him trying to speak to me. What is it that I'm facing right now that God wants to speak to me? Maybe I ignore some promises that he had for me. I was baptized with the Holy Spirit many years ago. But after that, I was, again, lived a defeated life. I was like, and I said, Lord, I want to experience the true baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to see the heart of God through these words. And they become alive when God sees that our heart is open and burning for that. If we just look for verses to throw at each other, I don't think the Holy Spirit is going to assist us. Maybe you're not tempted to do that, brothers and sisters. But I have seen so many, I was, and still I am, one of those who I'm tempted just to show this and show that and show this and show what. And just God tells me, be quiet. When Jesus was back in those days in Jerusalem, he was not going, okay, this is wrong about you. This is the wrong doctrine about you. You believe wrong this, you believe wrong that. He said, if anybody's thirst, he did not say, let's come everybody for Bible study tonight. He said, if you are thirst, if you are hungry, come to me. If you are sick and tired of your life, come to me. That's what I want to find when I look in the Bible. Because these scriptures, Jesus says, they point towards me, towards him. And people said, no. Well, I see this way. And, we're just looking for, all this, discussions. And that's why they missed. What a privilege it was to be born in that time when Jesus lived, and just God chose me to be born 2,000 years after him. But he chose some people to be his neighbors, to be his co-workers, to be there. And yet they said, nope, I don't like this type of Jesus. How did they miss that? Do you know that a lot of people, they wish they would have a book like this, a Bible? And they did not, but we do have it. Let's have the right heart and attitude and say, Lord, your word is the light for my path. Lord, please be with me, open my eyes, and help me to follow one step at a time. And make me, Lord, more and more fall in love with you. Let everybody else say whatever they want. I want you, Lord, to work in my life. If there is disobedience in my life, Lord, show it to me. If there is unbelief in my life, Lord, show it to me. And let's be ready to repent and come to Christ. And we'll see how this word, I'll tell you how many times when I look at God's word and he brought the joy in my heart from repenting, from the thing that I was doing. And immediately God showed me, this is not okay what he did. I said, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you. If we start justifying ourselves, or starting like, oh, but this, but that, but if, and all that stuff, God is not going to talk to us. If we just come to him with a humble heart and say, Lord, speak to us. We want to be more and more like Christ. I'm sure he's eager to show us things we have never seen before. He'll reveal Christ to us. He'll reveal his nature to us. I have seen so many things. I look in the Bible and say, Lord, the way you reacted, the way you behaved, Lord, I want that in my life. I want to be like Moses. He was just holding two pieces of stone that were like, you know, the commandments. But people knew that he encountered God because his face was transformed. When I open the Bible and look here, I want to see the glory of Christ. I want to see him speaking to me and transforming me and all of us more and more into his image. May God help us.